This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Before we get into today's episode, Your Money Briefing is exploring what you need to know to become a homeowner and sustain your home. You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access, available only for WSJ subscribers. Now on to the show. Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, April 17th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Let's face it, eventually we're all going to die. And for most people, that will involve a funeral, which can run in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Funerals are among the most expensive purchases someone will make in their lifetime, but most people don't plan ahead. So that leaves their family members to make those arrangements after they die. And as you can imagine, that can be a really stressful experience for loved ones left behind.
We'll speak with Wall Street Journal reporter Dominique Mossbergen after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Planning your funeral now could save your family headaches down the line, but some experts recommend not paying in advance. Wall Street Journal reporter Dominique Mossbergen joins me. Dominique, speaking about funerals, it's kind of a downer, but why is planning ahead so important?
Funerals are among the most expensive purchases someone will make in their lifetime. It's also something that most people, whether they like it or not, will have to contend with at some point. But most people don't plan ahead. So that leaves their family members to make those arrangements after they die. And as you can imagine, that can be a really stressful experience for loved ones left behind. Family members may not know what you wanted and may struggle to figure out what the best choices are. Plus, even in the best of times, it can be challenging to shop for funerals. There's a lack of transparency when it comes to funeral pricing. A lot of funeral homes don't post their prices online, for example, and a lot of funeral homes won't provide that information over the phone. Like, you have to go in person, and prices can vary widely from funeral home to funeral home. You're asking a lot of your next of kin who are already grieving, and now they have to go and navigate this difficult shopping landscape. It's recommended that you plan in advance so it's much easier for your loved ones to then make those decisions when the time comes.
What should go into that planning process?
Generally, what I've heard is it can be a fairly straightforward process where you're thinking about three main things. One is, where and how do you want your body to rest? For example, a lot of people may not realize that you can actually have a funeral at home. Like, you don't need to hire someone to take the body away. If your family is willing to do it, your body can really rest at home and your family members can file the paperwork needed to do all that. Also, you can decide whether or not you want to be embalmed. Do you want to have a viewing? Number two would be what the industry calls your disposition method. So how do you want your body to be disposed of, essentially? Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? And then the final step would be, how do you want to be memorialized? Do you want to have a service? Would you like that service to happen with the body, or would you want a memorial service later? Do you want a party? Where do you want your final resting place to be?
So a lot of things to consider when planning for end of life. But you spoke to a consumer advocate in this field who said that people shouldn't prepay for their funeral. Why is that?
they make a real distinction between pre-planning, which is pretty much universally recommended as a good idea, and that being different from paying in advance for your funeral service and other things. The reason for that recommendation to not prepay is because it seems like the potential risks of prepaying don't outweigh the benefits in most cases. So one issue that I've heard is usually when you prepay for a funeral package, for example, that money is supposed to be either put into an interest-bearing trust account, or it is a type of insurance. And all states have regulations that are supposed to protect this money. But what I've heard in my reporting is that the level of protection really varies from state to state. And so because of that, there are some risks to consumers. So for example, if a funeral home closes, if it goes out of business, if the owner dies, or if you as the consumer decide to move out of state and you die in a different state, how easy is it to transfer what you've purchased to a different funeral home somewhere else? How complicated that is can really vary. Because of that, consumer advocates really recommend that if you want to earmark funds for your funeral, instead of prepaying, put that money into a payable on death account, and that money will be able to go to a beneficiary when you die, and that money can be used for your funeral service.
How do some funeral homes try to encourage people to prepay?
These packages in industry parlance are known as pre-need packages or pre-need sales. And pre-need is a big part of the funeral business. A lot of funeral homes' revenue comes from pre-need on average, and a lot of them push that on customers. And a tactic that is quite common is because most people don't come into contact with a funeral home until someone dies, the funeral home will make use of that opportunity. So imagine your mom has just died and you are going to a funeral home. And at the same time, they will also try to pitch you to buy a pre-need package for yourself. And they may say, oh, clearly this is a really stressful experience for you right now. Wouldn't you want to spare your children from this hassle and from this stress? And then they use that as an opportunity to sell to this person. And again, this is someone who is grief-stricken, who may not be in the best place to be making the best decisions. When I've spoken to some funeral directors, they've said that they do know that their customers are vulnerable, and sometimes they take advantage of that. Of course, not everybody, but that's definitely something that I've heard.
If somebody does get into a financial agreement with a funeral home, what should they look for in the fine print in the contract?
If you do choose to prepay, and for some people, they want that financial security, they want to know that they've dotted all their I's and crossed their T's, definitely look at the contract really carefully and know what you're signing up for. I think a few things to look out for include, is it refundable? If you or your loved ones wanted to get a refund, is that possible? What are the stipulations for that? Is it transferable? So if you move out of state, or if you decide, or your family decides to use a different funeral home, how easy is it to transfer that contract? Also, you want to look at, if it's an installment plan, what happens if you die before you pay off all the payments? What would your family be liable for? Also, some of these contracts are so-called guaranteed contracts. You know, it's supposed to protect you from inflation, and you pay whatever the price is. And even if you end up using it 10 years from now, you're not supposed to have to pay another cent. But in some cases, there might be something in the fine print that says, yes, this is guaranteed. Here are some examples or some products where you may have to pay a little bit more, or third-party things like flowers and other things, you might have to pay extra. And so you just want to know what you're getting yourself into.
How about prepaying for a burial plot? Is that recommended?
When buying a burial plot or a cremation niche, it's seen as buying a piece of property. And so there's a slightly different feeling when it comes to those products. Generally speaking, it seems like if you're really sure that you want to be buried at this particular cemetery where your whole family is buried, and you're very certain that that's where you want to be, and you're able to get a guaranteed contract, and you can like lock in a price, and you're able to pay years in advance, probably you may be paying a lower price. It seems like that could be a good decision. Again, people should really read the fine print, shop around, ask an estate planning attorney what they think, and make the best decision for themselves.
That's WSJ reporter Dominique Mossbergen. And that's it for your Money Briefing. Today's episode was produced by Ariana Osperu, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.